Hello, and welcome to the first of a new series of podcasts called Out of the Archives. My name is Caroline Jones, and I've worked here as the Wellington archivist for the last 3.5 years. Last term, we did a programme where we came down into the store. We looked into the archives at some of the fascinating items down there. And what we're going to be doing now is every couple of weeks, I'll be bringing something out of the archives to talk about it, either a document or one of the objects or works of art or a story that's come out of the Wellington history that I've been researching. So I hope it will be interesting and be able to give you a little bit more of a feel of the fascinating and varied history that we have here. So to start off today, we're going to be looking at one of the house record books. Now, each of the houses at Wellington has its own series of record books in the archives. They're sometimes called FASTI, and they are some of my favourite records because they're completely written by the students and always have been. In fact, some of them explicitly state that they are not to be shown to the housemaster. I think they were generally written by the head of house, although sports entries would be written by the house captain for that particular sport. And they go right back to the early years of the college. Most of them start in the 1860s, 1870s. They start off quite factual. They record who joined and left the house each term and how they did in the inter-house sports and so on. But gradually, as they become more modern, they have more of a personal element and they start to include a retrospective at the end of each term and quite detailed things about individuals in the houses. Now today I've brought one of the early books from the Picton. One thing to note is that in the 19th century, only the dormitories in the central buildings of college had the same names that they have now. The boarding houses in the grounds were known by the names of their respective housemasters. So at the time, this was known as Mr. Griffith's house and then Mr. Penny's house and so on. And eventually, the college decided that it was confusing to keep changing the names whenever the housemaster changed. So in 1910, this became permanently known as the Picton. Now, I've chosen this book because it's unique among all the house books that I've looked at so far, as it seems to have been a house tradition or a running joke to include humorous complaints about the food. Now, at this date, the students in the central dormitories had their meals in the old dining hall, which is now Waterloo Hall. But the students in boarding houses, such as the Picton, the Benson, the Stanley, had their meals in their houses. And the food would be chosen and paid for by the housemaster and his wife, and prepared and cooked by the domestic servants employed in that house. So you'll see that the quality might have varied quite considerably between houses. And in the Picton, they certainly seem to have had strong views about the quality of the food that they were served, although I suspect that sometimes they're exaggerating a bit for comic effect. So if we look at the first example that we find in the book, on the 28th of May in 1876, they've noted that there was a universal revolt against the plum pudding, which was considered a very grave offence. It says it turned to our advantage, but I don't exactly know why. But they were obviously encouraged by the success of that revolt, because in November 1879, they write, "There was a general revolt against the rolls, which were universally declared to be most disgusting, and which Griffith, the housemaster, would give us at breakfast instead of sausages. This was looked on in a most serious light by our worthy tutor, but it turned out eventually for the advantage of the house, as the next Sunday sausages appeared on the breakfast table instead. These, however, when they came, were hardly worth eating, but a point had been gained, and the honour of the house was satisfied." Moving on several years to 1886, the house came back in September, and they write, "The cook, owing to the length of the summer holidays, has entirely forgotten how to make coffee, which liquid has preserved a sooty black colour the whole of this term, and is unanimously declared beastly. The beer has been homemade by the butler to the following recipe. 50% of water, 30% of vinegar, 20% of swipes. This also is unfit for human food. Now, you might be surprised to learn that they're having beer at all, but at that date, weak home-brewed beer was still a fairly standard drink for a lot of people, as it was often safer than water. And at that time, swipes was a generally used term for weak, watery or bad beer. So it's interesting that that's the origin of the way we now use swipes to mean any snacks provided by college to be consumed in the houses. I wonder if that's the same cook they're complaining about. The following year, June 1887, so yeah, the end of that academic year, we heard with great joy that our present cook has got the sack and leaves at the end of term. She is a most abominable woman and smokes the porridge daily. After that, perhaps when the new cook arrived, things did seem to improve, as there are no more complaints for several years, apart from the tutor, the housemaster, being rather mean about the bread. In autumn 1895, we get a lengthy entry. It says, "There are many grievances about the way in which the house is fed this term. The butter simply stinks." Remember, this is before refrigeration, so it was probably quite common for things like butter and milk to go off. "The butter simply stinks, and for the last few nights has had to be forcibly ejected into the garden, from whence it has been transported all over the college on different fellows' boots, because of the slackness of those who had been appointed to bury it, they having scattered it broadcast instead of giving it a decent funeral. Also, once or twice a week, a dish of greasy half-cooked fish, either with their tails in their mouths, name unknown, or else great fat podgy flatfish of some sort, are placed before the house for breakfast. They are quite harmless, being absolutely tasteless, unless killed first with pepper and salt. Our worthy tutor, housemaster, differs with the house on this point, and says they are very nice. One morning even going so far as to inform us that he had eaten two, a statement which, however, no one believed, as it is a sheer impossibility for a mortal man to eat a brace of those disgusting, greasy, high-smelling things without dying. These evils have been endured by the house with Christian forbearance so far, but this state of affairs cannot last much longer." After that, there follow quite a regular series of entries complaining about the poor quality of the butter, the bread, the fish and the meat served in the house. The last one I'm going to read is from September 1899. Remember, that's 20 odd years after the first one. And generations of students have gone through the house since then, but they still seem to have continued the tradition. And so in 1899, it refers to some family of college servants who obviously had kept a sow, that is to say, a pig. "Last term, the house had to offer its condolences to the Prangs on the death of their dearly beloved sow owing to blood poisoning. This morning we had her fate recalled to us in the shape of some sausages, which tasted most peculiar, due no doubt to her liver being out of order at the time of her untimely death." They then go on to record the fact that the tutor's dog has also died recently, and end with the comment, "We hope that he will receive a Christian burial and will not suffer the fate of all things that die in this house, namely to appear in some shape or other on the table as food." So thank you very much for listening to the first episode of Out of the Archives. I'll be back in a couple of weeks with something different to tell you about from the college's history. Bye.